Amen. Praise the Lord this morning. Going to be sharing a message this morning. Started having somewhat of a series in the Christmas messages. We're going to be reading from Luke chapter 2 this morning. If you have your Bibles and you get to Luke chapter 2, we'll begin at verse number 1. The message for this morning is called this: the messages Christmas brought forth. The messages that Christmas brought forth. Luke chapter 2, beginning at verse number 1. We're going to read down through verse number 14 together this morning. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God, and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Father, we are so thankful, Lord, that we have the record and recording of what took place on that night. I'm thankful, Father, that the angel brought a message, peace on earth, goodwill toward men. I thank you, Lord, this morning that if there's ever a time that we can enter in and receive the peace of God, it's as we hear and understand the very purpose, reason that you came upon this earth. Father, without you, there's only strife. Without you, there's just discord. Without you, Lord, in our lives and in our hearts, Father, there's nothing left but chaos. But Father, you're the stabler of our heart. You're the sight that helps us to see the real and truth of what life is. And Lord, I thank you that, Lord, this is not just something that was done years ago. But Lord, this Christmas season is also a time when you renew, revive, and strengthen the peace that comes upon your people. And Father, I pray that every heart, every believer, everyone that's here this morning would understand how much joy is in this message of receiving Jesus, this Christ baby that was born unto us in the town of Bethlehem. Father, we give you all our praise this morning. I want you to just give the Lord one more hand clap of praise this morning before you sit. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We honor you this morning. We praise you this morning. We love you this morning. Magnify his name. Hallelujah. He's the King. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the only one that can say, I am that I am. He's the first and the last. He's the Alpha, the Omega. He is that bright and morning star. Emmanuel. Hallelujah. All these different names that we have. The Son of God. A friend that sticks closer than a brother. Wonderful Counselor. Mighty God is He. I want to share some things this morning about the messages that Christmas brought forth. There's some things that we need to be able to understand that all through the ministry of Jesus, even at His birth, He was working on things greater than you and I could see. The advantage that you and I have this morning is we're able to read the Word of God. But for Joseph and for Mary and for those that were there in the town getting ready to go into the time of census and the recording and the taxing that was going on, the Bible actually says that at that time it was a decree that was sent out to all the world. So this was a mass group gathered in one place. Hebrews chapter 13 says something that you and I love in the Scriptures. Jesus had made clear to us one of His messages to all of His children is, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hebrews chapter 13 is where you can find that. This morning I want to talk about some messages that Christmas being Jesus brought forth. I want to go and talk about Joseph this morning and hear the message that comes out of Joseph. The Bible said that Joseph was a just man. The Bible says that Joseph was of the lineage of David. There was a reason that Joseph was going to be used of God that would be known as the earthly father of Jesus. No, Joseph was not the natural father. But Joseph represents a message inside Christmas that you and I need to hear. Joseph represents a message as he ministers to Mary in the same way that Jesus has said unto you and I will never leave you nor forsake you. Now let's talk about this. In the Jewish custom, there was a ceremony of being committed unto marriage before the act of marriage takes place. Joseph and Mary were betrothed to be together. There was a covenant. It was so strong that even though they were not actually married, Joseph could have chose to divorce her before they got married. There was a situation going on. Christmas was being conceived in Mary's womb. Joseph had to deal with something. After he found out, I don't know the conversation that took place, but somewhere after the Holy Spirit had visited with Mary, I believe she began to explain some things to Joseph because there was something that was questionable in his heart. He thought, being a just man, I will do the right thing unto Mary and I will take two witnesses and do a secret divorce and leave it at that. But the angel speaks to Joseph. I want you to hear the words of a Christmas message that says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus has sent that message through His own Son. God the Father has sent that message time and time again through Jesus. It's a message for you and I. It plays out in the life of Joseph. The angel ministers unto Joseph and he tells him, fear not, for what has happened is Mary has been able to be conceived and bearing a child because of the Holy Spirit. Joseph was a man of God. Joseph had the ability to hear what God was saying. The angel was able to minister to Joseph. That says something about the position of his life. Because of the ministry of the angel speaking to Joseph, we get into the Scripture and we find out that Mary was with Joseph going to Bethlehem. Joseph was the one that had to go. Joseph had to report. Joseph had the responsibility to be accounted for. And he had to go back to where his family was in Bethlehem. And he had to go back and get it straightened out. But because Mary accompanied Joseph, I believe the ministry of Joseph to Mary was saying, listen, Mary, I will not leave you nor forsake you. It sounds like Jesus. It sounds like a Christmas message. I will never leave you nor forsake you. We've got to understand that there's a covenant God. Genesis chapter 12 is where you can read about the covenant that God entered into with Abraham. You see, a covenant goes deep, and we need to be reminded at Christmas, we're not just having a friendship with God. We're not just having an acquaintance with God, but we have a covenant relationship with God. The covenant says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Joseph represents the message of Christmas of Jesus saying to our hearts this morning, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Do you realize that on this journey, when they had to leave Nazareth to go to Bethlehem, I want to talk about Mary just a little bit this morning. There's some message points inside of Mary that's going to also minister to the church. They had no cars. They had no real quick transportation. If you wanted to get the map and kind of go in and see the distance of Nazareth to Bethlehem, you're going to be somewhere around 90 miles. It translates to be about a 3 days journey. Now you also have to understand that Mary's carrying a child. She's in the last stages of being ready to give birth to this child. How many women out there have been in the last stages of carrying a child and know that there's some discomfort, there's some things going on? You're ready to deliver and get set free of the baby so that you can enjoy what comes next. Well, there was no comfortable seats, dusty roads, a 3 days journey Mary's going through. Hard. Some trouble, discomfort. But I want you to hear the message this morning for the church that Mary can speak to us. Because along the scripture, after she gets where she's going and the journey is over, and the Bible doesn't say that she just gave birth, but it says that she had been given deliverance. I want to say to the church this morning that in Mary, one of the messages that Christmas brings to us is that at the end of the journey, deliverance comes. At the end of the journey, deliverance comes. Mary experienced deliverance. There was a 3 days journey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. There was also 3 days that the Son of the Living God spent before He rose again on that third day that you and I rejoice. At the end of the journey, this is a message that Christmas brings to you and I. At the end of the journey is deliverance. Don't get caught up in the 3 day thing. Don't get caught up in the 3 year thing. It doesn't matter about the time. What matters is there's only one place that you can get deliverance, and that's in the miracle and the ministry of Christmas. In Jesus, you get deliverance. Other than that, you go on a journey, and at the end of that journey, it could just be more hardship. What's your journey that you're going through this morning? Some people are going through the journey of their body being sick. Some people are going through the journey of financial difficulties. Some people are going through the journey of grieving and mourning. Some people are going through the journey of being lonely and afraid. Some people are going through the journey of trying to figure out, where's my place? What am I supposed to do? But let me tell you that when Jesus comes, when the Holy Spirit shows up, at the end of Mary's journey, there was deliverance. She was delivered. She was delivered. You got to get that in your spirit this morning. At the end of your journey, no matter what it is, if Jesus, the message of Christmas, is in your life, there's deliverance coming for you. Hallelujah. What's the miracle? What's the miracle? Can I go back and just tell you the miracle of Joseph and what that message is? I will never leave you nor forsake you. Think about the family. Because of Jesus, had it not been for the divine appointment of the Holy Spirit working and ministering in that family, Jesus would have been born to a broken home. If there's a miracle that needs to happen in the world today, we need to believe in the miracle that Jesus can put families back together again. How's it going to happen? You got to accept Him. You got to believe in Him. You got to receive Him as the gift. The gift that God has given to us, Jesus, is a miracle that can fix problems in homes. Husbands and wives, Jesus is where you need to be. Children to parents, Jesus is where you need to be. God can put whole families back together again. What about Mary? Childbirth is carrying sorrow with it. But at the point of deliverance, all of a sudden that sorrow turns to joy. John chapter 16, Jesus begins to talk to the disciples. This was a change of what was going on in the world. Everybody was against Jesus. They were getting ready to bring him to crucifixion. And he said, the world's going to do something right now that seems different than you. They're going to rejoice. They're going to think that they're getting rid of Christmas. They're trying it today. They're trying to get rid of Christmas. But church, they can never do it. Christmas is not on the outside. Christmas is on the inside. Christmas belongs in the spirit of us, not in everything that we do on the outside of us. But here Jesus was ministering to his own disciples. He was preparing them and he said, you know, you are going to have sorrow. I am the Savior that's getting ready to go off the scene. His disciples had followed him. They had loved him. They had spent time with him. And Jesus was saying, I'm getting ready to be gone. But he encouraged them and he said, your sorrow will be turned to joy. How many of you believe that God can take the sorrow in your heart and turn it back to joy? Whatever the enemy has put sorrow in your spirit with, God can counteract it and bring it back to joy. You might be going through a journey that feels like sorrow. Listen to the message of Mary this morning. You might be going on a 3-day journey. You might have been on a 3-year journey. You might have been on a 30-year journey. But if you get Jesus in your heart, if you keep him in your life, then at the end of that journey is deliverance. And what happens at deliverance point? Sorrow turns from sorrow to joy. At the moment that Mary gave birth to Jesus, her pains and her sorrow was over, and she began to experience the joy of a newborn baby. You see the messages inside Christmas. They're very strong. I believe this year at Christmas, your sorrow can be turned to joy if you will accept the Christmas message of who Jesus is. At the very beginning of chapter 2, it talks to us about Caesar Augustus. We're going to hear some world and secular ideas. You and I know what it is to be taxed today. You know what it is to have to fill out census. But what's the message? What is a Christmas message that we can get out of this Caesar Augustus when he calls all the world to come and they're going to take a census and the only reason they want to count you is to tax you? Well, you have to begin to read some more in the scriptures. Matthew chapter 22, there's a situation where the Pharisees are coming to Jesus. They're going to ask him about Caesar. They're going to ask him about taxes. They're going to ask him about the finances of the world. They wanted to plot against him and get him to say something that would cause disruption. The question came to him, is it legal and liable for us to pay taxes unto Caesar? Jesus says something so great. He gets him and he says, bring me a coin. Tell me who the picture is on that coin. They respond and say that it's Caesar. He says to them, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's, and then you got to read the rest of the verse, because he says, then render unto God what is God's. Do you know what is God's this morning? You are. Do you know what God desires this morning? He desires you. The world is only going to be interested in seeing what they can get out of you, but God is interested in what he can put into you. The message of Caesar represents all of the world. They just want you for your money. They just want you for a title. They just want you for a name in their hat that they can try to find something to take away from you. But God's message at Christmas is Jesus came so that he could give you something. Hallelujah. If you're in the balance this morning wondering, do I want to live like the world or do I want to live like one of God's children? I would choose to live like one of God's children, because when you're out here in the world, guess what? They're going to find every way to take advantage of you. How many of you know this morning that this world finds its best ways to take advantage of you? There's not one person in this room this morning that somehow, some way has not been taken advantage of. When you rub elbows with the world, there's always somebody trying to do you in. When you rub elbows with a society that does not care about you, then there's always going to be somebody trying to do something a little bit wrong. But get the message of Jesus this morning. Hey, I'm going to give you some good news. Jesus was there at the time of the census. And you know what the enemy didn't realize happened? He was recorded in the books with Mary and Joseph, and there's living proof that he is the Messiah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. They say they don't want to believe the Bible. Well, go read some other reports. Mary and Joseph showed up in Bethlehem. Mary and Joseph had a baby while they were there. Hallelujah. They made it in. And there's records outside of the Bible that will point to Calvary and to Jesus according to all of these things recorded in the books. So you know something else that you want your name recorded in? How about the Lamb's Book of Life? How about getting a record of that? Hallelujah. But there's something else I got to talk about just a little bit. About taxes in the world system. Joseph honored what was called of him to do. He taught his family, we're going to do the responsible thing. Church, you might not like this, but if you find ways to cheat the government, you're not honoring God. If you find ways to do it your way, you're not pleasing God, because God said, He is the one who shall supply all of your needs according to His riches in glory in Christ Jesus. See, there's the choice. Am I going to do it the world's way? Because the world will teach you the best way to cheat. But God will teach you the best way to honor. One of the messages out of the Caesar Augustus is to honor. Christmas is about honor. Where is the honor of the manger? Where is the honor of the Holy Word of God being read? Where is the honor of remembering that it was an innocent child who went to Calvary and he stayed innocent from birth to death and resurrection? He stayed innocent. He had honor. But you and I have sold out many times our honor. Why would God allow somebody like Caesar Augustus to be in the midst of our situations? Because God wants us to be honorable. Do I think that things are a little crazy and out of hand? The same groceries I buy are the same ones you buy, and I think the prices are high. The same gas that you buy is the same gas that I buy, and I think the prices are high. But you know what? My Bible tells me if it belongs to Caesar, give it to Caesar, but render unto God what is God's. What's that mean? When you go into the Bible and you begin to look what it says about the tithes and the offerings, pull your toes back. When you get to the tithes and the offering, it says, if you'll do this, God will open up the windows of heaven and pour out on you a blessing that you shall not contain at all. What am I saying? Am I trying to get your money this morning? No, God's trying to get honor in the spirit of man this morning at Christmas time. The honorable thing to do is to give him the tithe and offering so he can spread the word of God and keep the ministry alive and moving and tell somebody else about Christmas. And he promises to open up the windows of heaven. The good news is he will. If you're not ashamed and embarrassed to say this, how many can testify and raise your hand and say, God has proven himself to me and he has brought me things that I didn't know how it was going to come, but he did it for me. Anybody got a witness of that this morning? Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. It comes down to honor. Christmas is about honor. You honor his word. You honor his name. You honor his covenant. You honor who he is in your life. How do you dishonor? When nobody's looking, you talk against what you said you believed in. You ever had friends that while they're in your presence, they'll honor you, but as soon as they get around to the next group of friends, you're the dishonor subject that they talk about? Can I remind you that God knows what we say? God knows what we're doing. He's checking our spirit. Why Caesar Augustus is in there? Because he's looking for honor. Who's going to obey? Who's going to honor God? Who's going to seek after him? Christmas, what's the messages? Joseph teaches us to marry. What a commitment he made. There's troubled marriages all over the place. But how about trying to have a wife explain to you that I've not been with a man, but yet I'm pregnant? And Joseph said, I'll stay with you. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You know, that's one of the greatest commitments of a covenant relationship. One place in Scripture, the Bible reminds us that the kingdom of heaven is likened unto 10 virgins. The bridegroom calls. The midnight cry. The only thing that the virgins are to be doing is preparing themselves to meet the bride or to meet the groom. Five went and had enough oil. Five others went and didn't have enough oil. The oil is the internal part that goes in the lamp. They were all virgins. On the outside, they were doing it right. On the outside, they were the same. But when you take that vessel of the lamp and you look down on the inside where the oil meter is, that's where it really comes out. The oil of gladness is what the Bible talks about. You've got to be in a love relationship with Jesus. And the way that I can explain it is five of them spent every moment thinking about getting next to their groom. It was the only thing that they were concerned about. It was the priority number one thing in their life. Nothing else is greater. But five of the others, who knows what it was that caught their attention and caught them off guard a little bit. But it shows that on the inside, their heart was not really longing in the depth that God wants us to long for Him. The covenant will keep you in longing relationship with Jesus. The covenant of your heart to Him will keep you in a place where you will let the oil of gladness, the Holy Spirit, you will let the Word of God, you will let the message of His Word soak into your heart. No matter when that hour comes at midnight, you won't have to worry about whether or not the lamp is going to go out. And the only ones that had oil was the ones that were able to get into that relationship and go on. Church, be careful in this day. Don't let your oil go down. Stand on it. Believe that Jesus is coming for His church. The bride of Christ is His church. He is coming. Caesar's Augustus' message of Christmas to us is about honor. And if the Bible tells us to honor Him, how much more honor should we honor our brothers and sisters in Christ? At Christmas of all times of the year, can we not set aside the fights, the arguments, the disagreements? Can we not choose to make the journey and be honorable one to another at Christmas this year? What's the miracle that God will take the rotten things of our spirit and turn it for good? Caesar Augustus only wanted to tax people. The decree was only to try to get advantage financially. But I'm so thankful that it's recorded in the Word of God because I know where my Savior was born. I'm so thankful that God keeps books in heaven as well. And I know where my name this morning is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Is yours there? What about Jesus? We've talked about Joseph. We've talked about Mary. We've talked about Caesar Augustus. What about Jesus? Has He got a message at His birth? Thank you, Lord. Look in your Bible this morning. This is the golden verse that God has really ministered to my heart about in this Christmas season this year. Luke chapter 2, verse 11. The scripture says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. I thought about those words, born unto you. This is the most personal thing that Jesus could ever do for us by putting you and I there. He was born unto us, not for us, unto us. It was said that of Mary, but it goes beyond Mary and it goes to all of us. He was born unto us, not for us. For us is just something that we need. And then when it's done doing what it's been assigned to do for us, a witness in a court shows up and gives the testimony and then they're gone. But an unto us birth means that he never leaves, he never forsakes. He's there on the day of the courtroom. He's there on the day of the hospital visit. He's there when you might be in prison. He's there when you might have been lost and broken and undone. He has been born unto us this morning. Not just for us. Three words in that scripture about Jesus. Savior. Savior. The Savior part of Jesus is the only one that could have saved us from our sins. He is the one and only Savior that takes away the sins of the world. He is the one given the title Savior because He did it at Calvary and He wiped out our sins through His blood. Calls the word Christ. Who is Christ? What is Christ? Isaiah chapter 9 will bring our attention back to the place where it says Christ, the anointed one, the only one. There was only one anointed. His name is Jesus. There was only one sent by God. It was Emmanuel. It was only one called the Prince of Peace. But what'd that one do? It is the anointed one that in Isaiah 9 says he broke the bonds. He broke the yoke. The anointing is the yoke breaker. Church, you can be burdened down. The burdens of your heart can be heavy this morning. But the miracle of Jesus is that He's anointed. He's anointed today, just as He was anointed there at the birth. He's anointed now. He can break and destroy the bondage of burden in your spirit this morning. Do you believe that? Do you believe that He busts up the burdens of our hearts? Then the Bible calls Him Lord. Lord is that place of authority. When they had kings in the Old Testament, they said, "My Lord." But see, when Jesus received this place, Lord, we know Him as Lord of Lords. That means He's never going to be dethroned. That means His authority is higher than the heights. What's the Bible say? Glory to God in the highest. The highest. How big is God? He's the highest. How big's the devil? He's the lowest. Why do people put God and the devil on the same term? No. God's the highest. The devil's the lowest. How can I prove He's the lowest? Because in Genesis, the Bible says that He was to be the one to crawl on His belly and eat nothing but the dust of the ground. But yet He has been a deceiver of time and tried to put Himself back up with God. And this morning I want to remind you through the Christmas message that God is the highest and the devil is the lowest. Get Him out of your life. Get Him out of your closet. Get Him out of your church. Get Him out of your family through the blood of Jesus. Quit giving Him rule. He doesn't belong in you. He doesn't belong in your heart. He doesn't belong in your ways. Oh, I feel the power of God. Hallelujah. Chase the enemy out of this place, God. Hallelujah. Devils and demons flee at the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. There's too many people not enjoying Christmas because the devil has them bound. But God says, let them go. Hallelujah. He is the anointed one. Hallelujah. Somebody ought to just start doing this and shaking it off. Somebody ought to say, this Christmas is going to be the Christmas that God's anointing gets me. I'm tired of being sad. I'm tired of being broken. I'm tired of being depressed. Thank God for Christmas. Yeah. Hallelujah. What is Jesus? He's the whole package. I don't know about you, but I'm not ready to go into 2012 without the anointing. I'm telling you right now, the enemy is putting on his marks. And he's trying his best to bring this thing to an end. But I just got to remind you that he's under our feet in the name of Jesus. Can I get a witness this morning? Anybody want to stomp on him a little bit this morning and say, God be the glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on and receive it this morning. He's your Christmas. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stand with me. There's no excuses this morning. You either want the burden broken or you don't. You either want the Christmas gift or you don't. You either want the message of Jesus to teach you how to honor this year or you don't. But I believe you came because you're longing for Jesus. You're ready. Need someone to either play on the piano or give me some music from up in the balcony, but we need to enter into this time right here. The Bible says that the shepherds on the hill saw the star. They heard the message. Said, here's your sign. You'll find him, a baby lying in a manger, wrapped in swaddling clothes. Your sign this morning is Jesus. He's not wrapped up as a baby anymore, but he is seated at the right hand of the Father. I don't know what you're asking for Christmas, but how about asking Jesus? Be honest with him this morning. Say, God, I need a real miracle this Christmas. It starts with knowing who the Christmas miracle is. He changed the world. There's nobody that can top the charts and say they changed the world like Jesus. They got all these people that pass away, and they talk about how they changed and influenced and did this and that. And I could drop some names, and many of you would know some of them, and they're dead and gone, but they're still being talked about. They're still making money in the grave for somebody else. But there's only been one baby that was born that changed the entire world. The entire world was changed. He'll do that for you this morning. I'm talking about your entire world. Maybe it's time that you get delivered like Mary. Maybe it's time that you make a new commitment to say to God, I'll enter into the same covenant, God. You said you'd never leave me nor forsake me. Go back into that covenant. Maybe you need to hear about Caesar. Why am I paying this and why am I paying that? Well, maybe God's checking your honor. And God will use somebody of honor. That's the other part of Joseph. When God sees honor in your life, he'll show up in you and say, now I can bless you with this. I'll let you hold this. I'll let you do this. Because he'll move through honor. But then Jesus. First of all, he's your Savior. He died for you. He did that. Then he's the anointed one. And this is where I believe the altar is this morning. If you need the anointing, I'm talking about the anointing that breaks every bondage. I just want you to start coming to the altar. We're just going to pray together. See, the anointing is Jesus. It's his word. I know the anointing's here this morning. I have no doubt. So if you need any of these things, and then to know him as Lord, Lord, my Savior, would you be like the shepherds come gather around your Savior today? Could I interest anybody in coming to the altar and just saying, you know what, I just want to praise him. In the season of Christmas, I just want to praise him. I want to exalt him. I want to lift up his name. I want to stand in the place. I want to be in that place where Caesar Augustus said, step out and see if you'll be counted. Come back to Bethlehem and see if you'll be one in the crowd. He's breaking bondage. He's breaking yokes. Some, he's breaking yokes by even getting out of the pew and coming to the altar. That's a yoke that's been on you. You wouldn't come. You wouldn't come. God's doing it. I believe he's already ministering to my heart. I believe right now I can tell you what the theme of next year, 2012, is going to be about. I believe as I was preaching there at the end on the name of Jesus, I believe he's telling me that it's the year of anointing. The year of anointing. Can it be anything else? How much hardship is going to be faced? We're going to need anointing. Can it be anything else? How much disbelief is there going to be in 2012? Aren't we going to need his anointing? What's the government going to do to us in 2012? What's the world going to do in 2012? Don't we need the anointing? If you've got nothing else to pray for, would you come and stand in this altar and say, God, send your anointing on us in 2012. For my church, for my family, for every part of my life, would you come? I just want to see as many people as would come to this altar this morning and get in on this prayer at Christmas time. Children, teenagers, married, singles, the elders of the church, show your Savior Jesus what he means to you this morning. Make the journey to Bethlehem. Hallelujah. When you get down here, just start praising him. Just start worshiping him. Just be in his presence. Oh God, I thank you today that your anointing is here. You're the anointed one. Oh God, I thank you, Lord, that the enemy is not welcome, but your presence is. See, the other thing about Jesus, this is how you know it's Christmas time. The peace. You know, even the secular world experiences peace at Christmas time and they don't even know why. All of a sudden, things change at work. It can be hot, temperamental, and here comes Christmas and people start getting cheery. All of a sudden, every neighborhood in town can be barking and arguing with one another over the fences. And here it is Christmas time and they're holding lights for each other, putting lights on the house. Even the dogs walking in the neighborhood, I believe they get along with other dogs. God is going to continue to put peace on this earth. But he didn't say he was going to be peace in the whole earth. He said he's going to be peace on earth. Yes. You and I get Jesus and we keep Jesus and that's where our peace is. Stop looking to the world. It's not ever going to be peaceful. Not till the day when Jesus sits down, his Amen. Kingdom. Yes, Lord. On that place in Jerusalem on the hill. And there's where he will reign.
Yes, Lord.
There's where he will rule.
Yes, Lord.
If you're not ashamed of him, lift up your hands and worship him. Love him. Did you sing the song with me this morning? Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face.
Oh, Lord Jesus.
There to sing forever of his saving grace. Yes. On the streets of glory, let me lift whose voice? My voice. Cares all past. Home at last. What are you going to do? Ever rejoice? How about rejoicing now? How about rejoicing right now? You've got the message of Christmas in you. You've got the Savior of the world with you. You've got the anointing of Jesus Christ on you, in you this morning. If Christ be for me, who can be against me? church. It might be a journey right now, but Mary got deliverance.
Yes, she did.
Stop counting the days of your journey and just know that if you'll keep Jesus, it's going to be a delivering time. Sorrow will turn to joy. God, I pray over Christmas, the message right now, if there's sorrow in the hearts, turn it to joy. Bring the journey to an end. Bring the honor. Bring us together. Lord, I pray over every individual that's in the altar.
Oh, yes, Lord.
I pray, Lord, that Christmas will never, ever be the same. But, Lord, every year that we get deeper in love with you, we know you, we understand more and more. We hear all of the messages. There's many, many, many more messages of Christmas that were brought forth. But, Lord, I just shared a few. But, God, remind us what Christmas really is. Touch every heart. If there's sickness in this place, God, I pray that that journey come to an end. Lord, if there's financial difficulties, I pray that it come to an end. God, if there's mourning and loneliness, I pray that it comes to an end. I pray that the joy will come on the authority of your name. Turn the hearts of the Father to the children and turn the disobedient back to the just and the wise. That's the Christmas miracle. We're believing it. We're believing it in the name of Jesus. Amen. Come tonight. Be part of the fellowship if you can make it. 5 o'clock. We're going to have our Christmas party. We've set a New Year's Eve service Saturday. It will begin at 5 o'clock. From 5 to 6 will be finger foods. And from 6 to 8 o'clock, we're going to dismiss early. We're not going to stay until the midnight hour, but we're going to go from 6 to 8 in the sanctuary. We will close that service with a candlelight service. But if you can think about this with me, the best way to bring in the new year is to be in the house of God praying and believing God for great things to take place. Say this with me as you're dismissed this morning. I am blessed. Every day that I live, I am blessed. When I wake up in the morning and I lay my head to rest, I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I'm blessed. God bless you. You are dismissed.